This is the Bears Barroom Radio Network. The following program is recorded live and intended for all audiences.
Radio is scripted, though. We just come up with it. We don't use computers. We don't rehearse. We're going to talk about this next. We're going to talk about them. We're going to talk about the Bulls. And then we're going to have Brad Bixon. And then we're going to have all this. No. No. If you don't know what you're going to talk about in the top of your head before a show, you shouldn't be in the business. I don't know what you got. I feel like Vince Vaughn in a couple's retreat. The sharks are circling. Old school, baby.
You're listening to the Mike North Advantage, and it begins right now.
That's right. The Mike North Advantage starts right now. I am Aldo Gandia. Old school, baby. I love it when you say that. Old school, baby.
AG, that's what we do here. It's all good, AG. How are you, everybody? My God, I got a new office. I got a new location. Got a little paint job going. This looks like exactly the interrogation room at Shakespeare. Back in the day.
Shakespeare police precinct.
I even have a picture of Mayor Daley hanging on the wall in here. Just for reminiscence. For reminiscence, my friend. How are you, Aldo?
I am doing well. Is that a safe behind you there?
Yeah, it's a safe. With all the money I used to have. No, it's a refrigerator. Are you kidding me? I'm having the time of my life. I see all the great shows on the bar room. I go, Jesus, I gotta step it up a little bit. I see Dan and you. I see you and this guy, you and that person, that guy, this girl, a Peggy Kaczynski, all that stuff. And just wonderful shows all over the place. And I feel great. We got all sorts of stuff that we've been planning. We actually bet. This is the first, ladies and gentlemen. Aldo and I actually had a business meeting that went off without a hitch. Absolutely.
A 30-minute meeting and we didn't fight. We didn't disagree.
You're in shock. You go, you're organized. I go, hey, what can I tell you? You know, it's going to be great. We're going to have some fun this summer. We're going to hang out. We're going to be doing all sorts of stuff, paperwork. I got more paperwork than a detective in Inglewood, for God's sake, right now. It's ridiculous. And everybody, Inglewood, Mayor Lightfoot, Inglewood, it's an area. It's one of the neighborhoods. By the way, Wrigleyville is not a neighborhood. Did you know that?
Yeah, I knew that. Well, I don't understand what the whole thing is.
77 neighborhoods. Wrigleyville's not one of them. Because it's not a neighborhood. It's Lakeview. It's this view. It's that view. It's over there. It's over here. It's anything but Wrigleyville, but they're still nice. They're nice jerseys, I guess.
Yeah, do you like them? Which one do you like better, the South Side?
Or jerseys that you fight to play in your whole life. The actual Major League jerseys that since you were a kid, you wanted to wear.
Yeah.
I can't imagine being called up, and the first time I get called up by the Cubs, I'm wearing a jersey that says Wrigleyville, and I'm from Arkansas. I have no idea where I'm at. I don't know what day it is. Wrigleyville sounds like a movie of the week, you know?
It does.
And it is. It's a movie of the day. I hung out there. Back in the day in the 70s, that's when it was fun to hang there. I mean, Rays bleachers.
Yeah.
And I love what they do now. I love their whole thing. But when the rooftops had two lawn chairs, you know, just the people, the owners of the building with a barbecue grill, that's when it was great. When you had to sit on the ledges.
Yeah.
And there was no bleachers. You know, I mean, seriously. I mean, those were some times. Rays bleachers used to have a pool table right in the middle of the joint. They didn't care. I mean, it took up extra space, but that's how great it was. Man, those were some good times.
I've sat up on those bleachers maybe a half dozen times. Great, great, great times.
Yeah, but I go, okay, after three innings, let's go back. Can we go back? You know, you're there for three innings. You had a hamburger. You had a couple beers. Now you're sitting up in the bleachers. You don't know half the people. Okay, we had enough. Let's move on.
That's true.
You know, that's all. I'm not saying, I was up on those roofs before when they had nothing up there.
Uh-huh.
So I knew some people over there back in the day, and we watched the ball game. Okay, I can't see the right fielder. I can't see, you know, the center fielder on balls. After three innings, once again, this has been fun. I'm going to go down. I'm going to try to get a ticket to get in, you know, so.
Now, you were at a White Sox game recently, right?
Oh, baby, my guys from Prop Swap. I met a bunch of them. Guys from Bridgeport. There was a guy from Bridgeport, great guy, Anthony. Andy was there. Guys from AM1000. Mm-hmm. Brian Watercott. Eric. Ian. I think that's his. Of course, my guy who does just, I mean, if you listen to the Odds Couple, okay, and you really want to get the scoop, you got to listen to that segment. And they do just do a great job. And I can't remember my guy's name. I just was with them.
Over at the.
At Prop Swap.
Yeah.
I'm embarrassed. It just skips my mind.
LeGrand.
Luke. Pergande.
Luke.
How's the matter with me? My guy, Luke. I was with Luke. I was with all those guys. Great guys. I went to see Reinsdorf. I tried to come into the skybox. He didn't. Then I got ridiculed because I couldn't deliver the owner of the Chicago White Sox who didn't feel like coming over there.
Oh, man.
You know. But I got... Like I said, I went in to see him. He rolled his eyes. I know when he found out I was outside. But he let me in. That's called access, mister. One of the top sports owners in America. And where does he stand now, folks? Especially with the White Sox. Where does he stand?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good. Get over Tony La Russa. He's not going anywhere. What a masterful job he's done. Do you know what he did the other day? Last night, he had a hit and run on. Boom. I mean, that's it. That's why Tony La Russa is the manager. Steve Stone has even brought it up. Now would be a good time for hit and run. And Stoney, as usual, was around it.
Yeah.
But when La Russa called it, it worked to perfection.
Mm-hmm.
And that broke it open. So until everything broke loose.
Terrible injury yesterday for Madrigal. We don't know the extent of how much he's hurt, but it appears to be a hamstring injury. This team has been tormented with injuries.
Yeah.
Tormented. And yet they keep winning. I mean, they didn't win last night, but they are in
good place. They won today, but Cleveland lost last night too.
Right.
And also, I heard Ozzy talking about he never pulled a hamstring. To be honest with you, I did. They're brutal. It takes forever. Look at these guys, though.
Nope.
Cleveland cooperates. They're four back. Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
Detroit. They're done. Minnesota. I think they're cooked. I think what you see is what you get. I don't think there's any comeback in him. I'm not afraid of the Royals. I think Cleveland's your only concern. And the injuries.
Mm-hmm.
That's our big concern.
Mm-hmm.
You can't lose these top ball players on your team.
Right.
You've lost like three starters.
Yep. When you
look, and I only throw in McCann.
Right.
As another guy. That's four guys.
Huge.
That you had, you know, now Robert and Eloy, I mean, it's going to be a while.
Mm-hmm.
So what Tony La Russa has done, what the White Sox have done, is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
the only thing that concerns me is when you look at this one loss record, these standings from MLB.com, is that record against 500 teams all the way at the right. They are 10-13 versus teams that have a 500 or better record. Does that concern you at all?
Yeah, it concerns me. And also, you know, the 500 record against teams that are really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that they're dominating more at home,
mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, than they are on the road.
Right.
I mean, let's face it, 13-13 still respectable.
Sure.
Let's not get carried away. But look at the record of 500.
Right.
That's what you got to, or above. That's what you got to look at mm-hmm. here. Mm-hmm. Their home record is great.
Right.
Okay. But here's what I really look at the end of the day. We could break down any stat we want.
Okay.
But they have a great lead. Mm-hmm. The other American League divisions, they don't have that type of lead.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that.
I'll take a four-game lead. Mm-hmm. There's going to be imperfection. You have injuries. Look where you're at. You're 37-24 with a manager that is so good in the dugout. The nuances of the game. And here's what Jerry Reinsdorf did tell me. Okay. Now, last week he told me that he thought Mercedes could hit 280, 290.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. One more conversation I had with him, he wouldn't mind me sharing. out of the many millions where I drove him nuts, that we don't share. He said people don't notice the nuances of Tony La Russa in the dugout, the little things. I said, absolutely. I did. If I had a disagreement with him, I'd tell him. Like I brought up the hit and run the other night. Like I brought up the switching of the ball players, Moncada and Madrigal, that helped Abreu. Okay? These are just things that a seasoned number two manager of all time, and I give Tony credit for bringing up that John McGraw did it in less games. And John McGraw, ladies and gentlemen, just read about him. Just read about him. Disciplinarian, didn't take any BS from anybody. His ball players had certain standards. It's just read about him. Go to Wikipedia.
Yep.
Because I think McGraw is a better manager than Tony La Russa is. And I think Tony La Russa even acknowledged that by the amount of games it took Tony La Russa.
Yeah. That McGraw record is never going to be beaten. I mean, the guy with the most wins as a manager, right?
Man, Connie Mack owned the team. You know what I mean?
That's the name.
Yeah, Connie Mack. He's the one. I mean, but he owned the team. That's like George Halas.
Yeah, that is
so. You know, I just think that Tony La Russa is the right guy. It took guts. He's taking artillery from people that just don't like him. They wait for every little mistake, which is fine. I've seen mistakes all over the league. I watch. I gamble. I watch mistakes all over. I watch managers. They go to a bullpen when they don't have one. I just think, and this is from Chicago White Sox. Only worry is the well. That's what I said. Basically,
he's transcribing what you're saying.
Yeah, how you doing, Higvig?
That is a
great. I don't know how you pronounce his name.
HGG. That's his first name, and then the last name is GVVD. So
it's Rickon. It's Rickon.
He clearly has a problem with vowels. He doesn't like vowels. He's not going to pay for a vowel.
You know, Rickon has done some good things, so I have to acknowledge him. Like I've said many times, I never thought the rebuild was going to work. But then they did things after the rebuild, like add Lance Lynn, who I think
love him
is going to. I mean, he's just a guy that reminds me of Sutcliffe when he went with the Cubs. Big right-hander, the beard. I don't even remember if Sutcliffe had the beard at the time. I think he might have. I don't know.
He did, yeah.
Bounced around, was okay with the Dodgers, you know, just like Lancelin was okay with the Cardinals. I heard Jason Benetti and Stoney saying that many people thought that he was being picked up and almost as a backhanded slap as an innings eater, and he'd win 10 to 12. That was me. That was most people. I'm putting my hand up. I want somebody to tell me after the fact they thought he was going to be 7-1, 7-2. Come on. Tell me. Nobody thought that. Nobody. And I think I think there's people that thought Dallas Keuchel would be more reliable than Lance, than Lynn.
Yeah.
The Sox pitching is really, really good right now, but it can become really, really bad, folks.
Yes, indeed.
And now they're going to start playing some different teams besides Baltimore, Detroit, Pittsburgh. I didn't even bother to look at the 24-10 because baseball's subjective, but you still got to win the games. On any given Sunday, unless you're Baltimore, Arizona, or any given day, you can win. Arizona has trouble winning. Baltimore has trouble winning. But everybody else does okay. So, I mean, there's always 3-4 teams that are dogs that win every night. Now, last night I took Toronto. And
that was a good bet.
You know, a lot of people, and by the way, folks, celebrating my 30th year, Aldo's designed this beautiful thing in broadcasting. Yeah, thank you, Aldo. And if you've noticed my Twitter feed, there's not one little sense of controversy or debate. It's all handicapping. It's all dogs. If there's a hot chick, because my 30th year is going to be until my announcement. Really, just happiness. Just fun. So my Twitter feed is like that. It's just fun now. I don't have to argue with the numbskulls that I'm reading about. Oh, my God. Have you read the stuff?
I read a few things.
About Justin Fields?
Yes, I read a few things. By the way,
I don't want to start any trouble, one guy on Twitter said last night. I don't want to start any trouble, but Justin Fields already is better than Trubisky. No, you don't want to start any trouble. Just a guy that's never played a down of actual competition is better than a guy that won 29-21. But you don't want to start any trouble. We understand. And then I'm reading everybody. And these are people. Thank you, Eric. He loves the dog pics every day.
They're great.
I'm Mr. Happiness. So anyway, I mean, the nonsense I've been reading, these are people I respect. So I'm going to paraphrase them. They might not have even wrote it. Mark Potash, my good friend, a friend of the show, guy I love.
He's great.
Okay. Darnell Mooney was smiling as the ball came towards him. Saying, this is going to be special, okay? Then we got a good guy, Adam Johns. I'm just paraphrasing these. He might not have even wrote it, but this is all the stuff that's going to be coming out, okay? Footwork Supreme. Footwork Supreme, Fields already leading in battle against Dalton. Now,
how does he know?
That could be anybody, right? Am I reading this right or wrong? Fields seen crossing the street at Lake Forest, and gold dust blows on a car from his hair, and it cleans the car instantly. You know? That's true. That's what Fields got to do, throw six TDs in one game by a bear. Who thought that?
Yeah.
So it's just so funny. And I just want to, and then I stop myself. No. Like a guy said last night on Twitter, and we're not the only town. They're doing this in Green Bay. They're trying to make this Jordan Love guy. Mm-hmm. I think that's his name. Sounds like he can actually do something. But then you're seeing everywhere else. Mm-hmm. This happens in every town where the press plays favorites. Because my best lesson was last year. My best lesson was last year when I heard, or whenever year, that Foles was whipping Trubisky in practice. Then I heard from somebody that actually had been to the practices.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, Mike, this is between you and me. I can't say nothing. I haven't seen Foles do well in practice yet. Yet we were hearing the other way around.
Yeah.
So all this nonsense, okay, let's just let things play out. Don't you think, Elts?
I totally agree. You know, I was listening to a Bears podcast the other day, and Adam Bonds, who used to be with the Sun-Times and now works with the Athletic.
I love him.
Yeah, he's a great guy. But he said during the podcast last year, you know, Nick Foles, he just looked terrible in practice. And I'm like, did you say that at all last year? Because I never heard anyone say that Nick Foles looked terrible in practice.
No.
So it was kind of weird.
Maybe we missed it. I will tell you this, and I want to say, this is how you can judge people. Not from actual, I won 4 on-air awards. I didn't win them because I was voted by them in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
They were voted. One was in Milwaukee. One was in Boston. You take the station, send the tapes.
Right.
Otherwise, I would have never won. Mm. But these people go, holy, this guy's good. Ba, 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 ba. And I'd win, and then eventually they said, let's get rid of this award show. Anyway, that's beside the point. The best thing is, I'm listening to Vissen this morning, and there's a guy named Matt Eumanns on. Now, I don't know what's happened to Paulie Howard, but he hasn't been on in a couple weeks. You know, he just got back from vacation. It's very quiet. I'm just telling people over there what people around everywhere else is saying, you know. With, you know, they don't even say what happened to him. So I hope he's okay. Mm-hmm. I think the biggest fear is that BB told me about a month or two ago that he reminded her of me. So maybe this could be anything. But anyway, Matt Eumanns says, I finally found somebody that can't stand Jay Cutler besides myself. He said, here's a guy that sat out an NFC championship game with not even damage to his knee, a sprained knee. He didn't want to play. He sat there on the sidelines. He was so overrated. You know, he was the worst leader you could have. I couldn't believe it. Then I find out Matt Eumanns originally was from Chicago, but he has spent 30 some years in Las Vegas. So this was from afar, but a Bear fan, no doubt, knows his stuff. And I wanted to salute him. Thank you. He said he brought up stuff that, you know, we don't need to rehash that Cutler did. And, you know, the other guy, Mitch Moss, called him a sourpuss and stuff like that. Absolutely right. Right on for you guys. And now these same people who glorified Cutler are saying that Justin Field is going to fly in without wings and land, and then he's going to set the world on fire. So we'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens indeed. Mule Skinner asked the question, when are the Bears allowed to wear full gear? That's not until actual training camp opens in August.
Yeah. They used to have to wear full gear walking around in the dorm rooms. But now, right. You know, they really don't do a whole lot. They really don't. I mean, I heard McMahon talking about the training camps back in the day that he says this, and he says, we beat each other up the whole year. We practice against the toughest defense in football twice a day. And by the time the playoffs came, he goes, this has to attribute, we were dog tired. We were dog tired. We beat the crap out of each other, he says. And now that you look back, had they been having the training regimentation, would they have been better? I got to believe that beating the crap out of, having Otis Wilson rushing you or, you know, and you're Jimbo Covert, and nobody's winning.
Right.
There's standoffs, and there's fights. McMahon said there's fights every day.
Yeah.
I think that does take its toll. I'm glad we got the one, thank God.
What do you think, let's go back to the 69 Cubs. They played every day on that hot sun. Do you think that by the time they got to September, they were just drained?
I was a vendor there, and I was drained by September. And I was 16. Navigating those stairs wasn't easy because they had people actually sitting on the stairs back then.
Yeah,
they were sold by. They didn't know how to handle it. I mean, they sold standing room only, but people started sitting on the stairs, so the vendors had to go through a real thin corridor, you know? And, I think that had something to do with it. But, you know, and they ran out of gas, but they didn't, you know, you had Fergie Jenkins and stuff like that. Best thing I would say is it had something to do with it. You have Paul Popovich, you had a couple other guys, but their subs weren't that good. DeRozan really didn't do a lot of playing. He went for the enchilada and he ended up, I think, losing it. And, you know, the Mets were just terrific. The Mets were terrific. They couldn't lose.
Yeah, they really had a great, fabulous run. 10-game lead, September 1st, and the Cubs blow it. One of the worst memories as a sports fan ever. I mean, that still makes me upset.
Well, it's like, you know, can you imagine seriously, I don't know what the lead was. I know the Mets were just on fire. They could never lose. When the Cubs lost, the Mets won. When the Cubs lost, the Mets won. When the Cubs won, the Mets won. When the Cubs won, the Mets won. Then when the Cubs lost, the Mets won. I mean, it was unbelievable. Then the Mets would lose on an off day for the Cubs, and then when the Mets played them, you know,
right.
And then the black cat that ran around the bay, you know, seriously, that was brutal.
That was awful.
I mean, you know, I'm not a guy that believes in all that stuff, but Jesus, it's not the right time.
Exactly. Thank you. Hey.
My God, you got the guy. He's running. I mean, it was like the cat was trained. Just run around the on-deck circle. Mommy and I will meet you. You jump in the back of the station wagon on the way out. We'll put you down there. What the hell happened? The fact they got a cat in there.
I know.
I don't think the cat lived there, did he? He might have.
Maybe. I don't know. But that was kind of odd.
Hey. That was odd. All right. Release the cat. Let him out. All right.
Um, Gaylord Perry was the notorious spitball cheater of the time. And I bring his name up because we were talking about that era, but also what is happening now. And Mule Skinner brings it up. He says, I hate to say it, but the MLB has cheaters who are pitchers. How in the heck does a 32-year-old improve their fastball by 4 or 5 ticks without being on the juice? And beyond that, MLB now is supposedly going to crack down on all these foreign substances that people have. What are your thoughts on all this stuff?
Rob Manfred. Just a horrible commissioner.
He is, man.
I mean, I'm watching, I think Houston's playing Boston tonight, if I'm not mistaken. So you got the manager, the coach or whatever, Cora, who was with Houston, and now he's managing in the major leagues after helping fix, you know, a World Series, you know. Just terrible. I mean, White Sox fans to this day wanted AJ Hinch. They would. There are white Tony La Russa haters that would rather have a guy to fix the world, fixed the playoffs and World Series and season than Tony La Russa. And I have a huge problem with that. I do. Don't go preaching about, okay, he drank and this and that, and he shouldn't have done this, he shouldn't have done that. You guys wanted AJ Hinch. And you're going to talk to me about Tony La Russa, who at least has honor. He may not be perfect, but he's got damn honor. He ain't trying. He's trying to win fair and square. Maybe he isn't. Now, people can bring up the steroids. People, everybody was doing them, and they're doing them again.
Mm-hmm. And apparently, according to Bearstown, AJ Hinch has been making mistakes.
So he's an idiot. They did a deal with these two guys, or they were going to spill the beans on everybody. I'm convinced of that. They brought him back a year after they both. I mean, they're filthy, dirty, rotten scoundrels. That's what they are.
Yeah.
And they're both managing in the major leagues, and nobody says shit. Nobody. Like Tony Montana said, one of my favorite quotes. Maybe I'm in a little different context now. I'll be the bad guy. I'm the bad guy that exposes these people while everybody on the air talks about Aaron Rodgers and what he's going to do and where he's at.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody exposes baseball for what it's become. It's terrible.
Yep.
It's terrible. And now you got this nonsense with the grip. And then you got your top pitcher making all this money with the Yankees who doesn't even have the brains to have an answer ready.
That was ridiculous. What was that all about?
How do you not have an answer ready? All due respect to anybody. There's two people. Two people that I want to know that I saw this week. One is the vice president. How do you not have an answer ready for the certain for certain questions? And the same thing goes for Garrett Cole. How do you not, neither one of you, one's a leader, supposedly, and the other one's the leader of a pitch, one of the best pitchers.
Right.
And neither one have the brains to have an answer ready for a pertinent question that affects everybody. That's all I'm mad about. Just have an answer ready. I would.
Yeah. I mean, even basic media training, you know, give the guy, if they ever ask you a tough question that you don't really want to answer, just say, no comment, next question. At least that.
Yeah. You know? He's standing there, man. He's sitting there. Did you use that? He knows it's wrong. Look, I heard Ryan Dempster say this yesterday. Ryan Dempster says you're taught tricks from the older generation as you're coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Every older generation does it. But the stuff that they're using now is wrong, basically. This new stuff that you can't see, that's a grip, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so he was like not right in the middle. He basically said there's tricks we know, but you've gone over the line now.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, when you can get the revolution, and Trevor Bauer's another guy. When you get the revolutions, okay,
right.
It's supposed to be a 45. It's a 78. It's a record. Sped up. Revolutions. And it's not supposed to be that way. And there's a disparity between Garrett Cole and everybody in baseball.
Right.
So he's the main culprit, and he did it, and he's got $300 million to show for it.
That's right.
So there's always going to be cheating, Eldo.
Yep. There's always going to be cheating, and you wonder sometimes if MLB is being told by baseball owners, hey, I paid this guy $300 million. You're not going to change the rules now. I mean, I don't want to pay $300 million for an average pitcher. Let him do
that's what he is.
Yeah.
I don't know. Look, I have all the respect in the world for these guys. They're still the top of the crap.
Absolutely.
But there's cheating going on. Look, Bonds ruined everything. So did Clemens. Mm-hmm. And now these guys are. But then I hear a guy like Pete Alonso say, you know, hey, that's the way it is. Okay. Wait, do you allow Pine Tar to hold a bat? I get it. But do you know, they said last night, Hugh Darvish had an adjustment period coming down from Japan to the major leagues because of the grips and everything else. You have a rosin bag there. You have ways to help yourself.
Yeah.
But they've gone overboard, according to people who are saying, yeah, there's certain, I don't know if you call it cheating or fixing or whatever. I don't like the word cheat. But the game of baseball is such a bad place right now because of the leadership. Well, you haven't heard anything.
Totally.
Oh, yeah, we're going to start checking them.
Totally.
We'll see.
Totally agree with you. Hey, I got a comment here from Eric. I'm scrolling to find it. Here it is. He says that in the Pittsburgh game a few days ago, the guy hit a home run, and apparently it was disallowed because he didn't touch all the bases. You know, he says, like, what the heck is going on here? Do you really need to enforce that rule? The guy hit it out of the park. You think so?
Hey. It's Charlie Hayes' son. Mm-hmm. God bless Charlie Hayes, I believe. And I have all the respect in the world. I played baseball my whole life. You got to touch the bat. Come on, it's not a whole lot. You're not asking the guy to climb a ladder, walk out, do a tight one. Step on the bag. It doesn't hit. So now we got excuses for everything. You got to touch the bag. But, okay, he'll never do it again. That I know.
What do you think about what Eric goes on to say about the four balls? If you're going to intentionally walk somebody, just say, take your base.
Well, that's fine. That's fine with me. And there's other things that they want to institute. They want to bring in bigger bases now. This whole thing, everybody's out of control in this country right now.
I had not heard that. Bigger bases.
Yeah, they want in the minors, they're making the bases bigger.
What for?
You know, to avoid collisions, you know.
Don't run into each other.
You gotta get a memo out to these people. You know some of them. I mean, please. I mean, my God. I mean, and then netting's all the way down. We're gonna have netting over the top of the stadium soon. Uh-huh. Netting all over. You feel like a smelt. You go for a foul ball. You're hooked up. My God. And it's 320 feet from home plate.
A smelt.
Last night it was a woman that caught the ball. Or yesterday with a baby in her arms.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
And she was so happy. I said, if there was a net there, it would have ruined everything.
Yep.
Just like replay. Replay's good. Oh, I think replay. No, replay stinks. I haven't seen a good manager's argument in like months. Come on.
I put up on Twitter yesterday at Bears Bar, at Barroom Network, a call at the White Sox game where the ball was at least a foot inside out of the strike zone, and yet the umpire called it a strike. I'm like, what the heck? But I don't want to see robot umpires.
No, why would you want that? The part of the game is the beauty of the umpire.
Yes.
and the discussion between the batter and you're not going to get everything right, just like pitchers don't get everything right.
Right.
They throw a hanging curveball when it's not supposed to be.
Right.
You can't fail in this country anymore. You got to have big brother watching over you. Failure was at my middle name. You gotta knock on to keep knocking. That's it.
Failure.
And now I got life made. You just keep clawing away.
Yep.
But you know, you're not going to prevent people from injury. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm doing this nonsense. The bubble made the NBA players more susceptible because of injury. How? They didn't go anywhere. And you had the training staff there.
Oh, God.
So this nonsense. People get injured every year. Mm-hmm. I mean, my God, it's ridiculous. They begin, baseball's filled with injuries. And you know what? Hamstring injuries, stretching. I never did that much stretching. Mm-hmm. Never did. I felt like it was like a rubber band or a piece of paper. You're gonna pull them.
Yeah.
Because you're stretching them to the limit, just warming up. Run around.
Yeah.
You ever see horses?
Yeah.
Get down and start stretching? No. I mean, they run around. Hey, wait a minute. I can't be with you. I got to do some. Wait, where's the rubber band? You know, secretariat. No, he ran around. Just run. I see the White Sox are like, alligators. They're crawling like they're in the Marines. Get run around. People, all they do is get hurt. Run around. Just run around.
I love it. Somebody was saying the other day they should allow collisions at the plate again. And then the counter argument was, well, you got all these guys. You're paying them all this money. Do you really want them to get hurt?
I'm okay with no collisions. Okay, I'll do the catcher thing. I'll make Joe Torre happy since he's helped ruin the rest of the game. from the tenth inning crap to the nonsense of the seventh inning doubleheaders and all this crap. Okay? It's just ridiculous what's going on. The netting all the way around your favorite stadium. Okay? Because people look at their phones and don't pay attention. Then they get knocked in the head.
Oh.
And then everybody suffers. Because four people in a whole calendar year have things happen like that.
Yeah.
That's the way it is.
Yeah. Here's the thing is that the injuries are going to happen no matter what. Look at the White Sox. How many injuries to key players? Now Madrigal is hurt. Now
yep.
Eloy is hurt. Lewis Robert is hurt. They've had guys on the 10-day DL. And that's what
Hamilton all
precautions going on. So it's going to happen. Just get over
yeah. You know what I noticed about Hamilton?
Uh-huh.
He could play Hamilton. You know what I mean? The play Hamilton. He could play Hamilton. Did you see him?
Yes.
He looks like him. BB goes, I like him. He's my favorite player. He's streamlined like the old days.
Yeah.
Because now they're all Goliath.
Right.
Back in the day, even Dave Kingman was streamlined.
Yeah, he was.
All he was skinny going. And then he hit the ball. You couldn't believe it because it's about. I don't want to say launch angle because it's ruined the game.
What is the launch angle?
And people go, how's it ruined the game? Because these guys are all taught to up swing. And in the old days, the pitcher would throw low to strike these guys out. And they would try golfing. And once in a while, they catch up with one. Now they're throwing high fastballs and getting guys out because they're doing this. They can't catch up.
Okay.
So I know. I'm blessed. A lot of knowledge. That's only from what I could see from my front room while I'm eating a pizza. Piece of pizza.
I want to take a quick look at the Cubs standing.
Hey, holy mackerel. Look, no doubt about it.
Those
Cubs are on their word.
It does appear. Look at, unlike the White Sox, they have a winning record against teams that are 500 and better. They're four games
over. Yeah, but they're away. They're four. Although they did win big against San Diego. I mean, and they won 3-4 on the trip.
Yeah. I mean,
which I would sign for now. They're plus 33 in differential.
Mm-hmm.
Far and away, I think the Darvish deal is the deal that if they don't win it, I think comes back to haunt them.
I agree.
And I know that. And by the way, I heard people panning Jake Arrieta. They don't trust them still and everything else. I've always said sometimes it's where you're at. He's a better pitcher with the Cubs, period.
Yep.
And he pitched against Darvish, and he did the job. Mm-hmm. So, Darvish, that was a big game for the Cubs, you know?
It was. Really?
To go 3-4 on the road trip on the West Coast used to be the worst.
Mm-hmm.
The road trip to Houston used to kill us.
Mm-hmm.
And then the West Coast trip used to kill us.
Yeah.
So they're doing okay, man. And Chris Bryant staying in case I notice he's set against Darvish.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, why did he do that? I don't understand that.
Well, it's good to have a rest when that guy's pitching. But if we would have kept him, I think we're running away with it.
I totally agree. I mean, I understand, you know, you wanted to bring in some young players to the organization, but this guy was just starting to pitch like the Yu Darvish we thought we were getting. Last season, he was totally different than his first two seasons with the Cubs. The first season, he didn't pitch at all because he was injured. And then the second season, he was okay. His third season with the Cubs, he really started to come on, and then we get rid of him.
I don't think Jed Hoyer thought this team was going to do this.
I think you're right.
And I don't think that he saw what Vegas thought, 79. He saw stars that were paid handsomely, not great, because they can get more, and they will now. He saw them without the carrot in front of their nose anymore, how they performed after the World Series. He was there for the whole thing.
Right.
They underperformed. And now he's seeing, now that it's money time, that's just the way it is, folks. When you deliver during money time, they'll get a 3-4-5 year deal, and then they may stink the first 3 years. You know, like Lindor, you know, or, you know, or other guys forever in free agency.
Right.
So I don't think he thought this, and I think they're in shock. And now what are you going to do? You have to go for it. You got to go. And Rizzo, I mean, I know people that would rather have Rizzo than Bryant. Bryant plays five different positions, and I thought it was a shortcoming, but he doesn't make mistakes. And I think if you had to have your difference between the two, it's a tough decision, but I'd probably lean Bryant. Except for Rizzo, it seems, see, Rizzo's got back issues. Bryant had shoulder issues, more or less.
Right.
So I'd lean towards Bryant. I don't know which way you'd go.
I worry about Bryant's age, but Rizzo's not that much younger. He's only a year or two younger, right? So
and Bryant's a homegrown kid.
Right.
Even though he's from Vegas, he went through this. And Rizzo was from the Padres or wherever he played for, which is not bad because Konerko was from the Dodgers and the Reds organization. I like them both. I mean, if they win, you can't break it up. If they're in first place and they break it up, whoa.
Yep.
Whoa.
Yep.
And then they're going to be bringing – now they can make some money and bring back everybody, I guess, at full capacity finally. So
yeah,
I think it's going to be – let's go for it. That should check and you should look for help if you need it.
You mentioned full capacity, and it begins this weekend against the Cardinals. And I looked up, you know, between this entire rivalry, the player, both the Cardinals and the Cubs have 12 players in the Hall of Fame where in their plaques, they're representing that team. The Cubs or the Sox. Right. Those are the players on the screen that are in the Hall of Fame with the plaques with the Cubs. And then the Cardinals have Lou Brock. And one other guy who should have been with the Cubs, his name is going to scroll up here in a second. Oh, Bruce Sutter, right?
Bruce Sutter?
Yeah, Bruce Sutter should have been in the Hall of Fame.
You know what happened? He won with the Cardinals, though.
Yeah, he did.
But Bruce Sutter, to me, is the best relief pitcher I ever saw
Absolutely.
For a stretch.
Absolutely. But what happened?
I mean,
what happened?
He had to split. I take it easy. Jesus. Yeah.
I'm getting all excited here.
Why don't get me started about the shots. I went in finally to get the shot. I get the shot. They go, no more. Everything's good. I go, full capacity. I go. You could kiss somebody you don't know. Norris got the shot. All right. No. Bruce Sutter, to me, had the best split finger fastball I have ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
And I thought as a Cub playing on inferior type of teams, entertaining teams, he was great. So you're right. There's an argument. But there's also the argument that he was good on both.
Yeah.
Now, like Carlton Fisk was good on both with Boston and the White Sox.
Right.
So if somebody says Carlton Fisk is more Boston Red Sox, I got to sort of accept it.
Yeah.
And if somebody says, I think he's more of a White Sox, he's probably the best free agent out ever signed by a Chicago team. Him, John Lester, being two, right?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I can't, off the top of my head, I can't.
Carlton Fisk was a monster for the Sox.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
He was great.
Mm-hmm.
Neil
Stopchinski says Lou Brock, his father's favorite player ever. Lou Brock was a big dealing
guy. I'm glad Lou's last name wasn't Stopchinski. Okay. But I got it right the first time. God bless you. Thank you, Neil. And I believe it's N-E-I-L or N-E-A-L. Just me.
Neil spells it.
Unless you're from another country, which you look like you are. From Poland. Great people.
Neil is the co-host of Draft on Tap. He's a football scout, and he has told me the story behind the spelling on the name, but I won't get into it because it's as long as his last name.
I love it. I got it right the first time. It's ultimate compliment. Yeah. Salute. The Sox look good. The Cubs look good. We both teams with run differentials out of this world.
Mm-hmm.
So everything's going well. I mean, it's a fun time in Chicago.
It is a fun time. And before we get to your win daily pick, I want to talk a little bit about what's going on in the NBA because we've got two games tonight. It's the Nets and Bucks, and I've got the money line, all that information up there. I'm not sure what pick you're going to give us
tonight. Did you take the White Sox last night?
I did pick the White Sox. I picked the Cubs to upset Darvish, and then I parlayed the White Sox to win. And so I'm thinking after the Cubs came through for me, I'm thinking, man, I'm going to make me about $300-$400 tonight. And nope.
Well, you know what? I mean, I took Toronto, but I didn't have the guts to take him with just the money line. Mm-hmm. So here's how I figured it, folks. I'm not smart as anybody else, but I figured if you pay 10 cent juice like I do on a $100 bet and it's 110, is it worth me for 140, 30 more dollars to buy the run and a half?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I decided to do. Now, sometimes it comes out Sox 4-3. If you take the Sox, you win. I won both. Bets like that where I had both sides.
Mm-hmm.
But with Lance Lynn on the mound, I had a reading of Toronto, but I didn't have the guts to take Toronto on the money line.
Right.
So I bought a run in there for $30 more. That's all. Now the money line for the Clippers, the Jazz. I love the Jazz.
Yeah.
I love the Jazz. -156. I do. I mean, everybody's poo-pooing them. It's an old school name word. Poo-poo. In more ways than one. It's one of the first words you learn as a child.
That's poo-poo. Right.
What
about the Bucks and Giannis, the furor behind Giannis?
Tonight they're favored.
Tonight they're favored.
Tonight they're favored.
How does that happen? I don't get it.
Well, it's called you go home, but if you watch the first two games, I don't think Kevin Durant's going, we're going to Milwaukee. I don't think they're afraid.
I don't think so.
You know, Harden's not going to play, but he didn't play the last game. But, see that?
That was a nice move.
Hey, what?
It looked like Mayweather.
Don't get me started on him.
Unbelievable.
Him and his pal. But Giannis is great. I'm never going to condemn him for signing with Milwaukee, staying home. Mm-hmm. He could sign with any team he wanted. He could go to the Lakers next year, and LeBron would be big again. Mm-hmm. He wouldn't have to – you know, he's changing his number. This nonsense. Like, I give two – I don't care if LeBron James wears number 6, number 0, number 150. I don't give a rat's ass. My God, I like the Jazz. I like the Jazz and I like the Bucks to win tonight, but I wouldn't pick them. I'm not going to bet it.
Yeah, I feel like
the Nets are getting +3.5. Think about that.
I don't get that. I think I'm going to dig into my jelly bank and bet on the Nets. I like the
plus. You're betting the Nets?
Yeah, I like the +130. I like the fact they're getting 3.5. I might bet the 20-50 bucks.
Why wouldn't you?
Right?
I mean, people felt like fools in game two, but, you know, the change of venue, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Middleton's got to play better.
Mm-hmm.
But really, I mean, Middleton and Holiday?
Yeah, yeah.
They got to show up, and they got to help out Giannis, who they're trying to tire out.
Right.
It's pure and simple. I mean, the Nets, you got to guard them. If you're going to let them have 28-foot shots, 30-foot shots that they're trained to take with 3 feet of space between you, you're going to get killed. Go out and defend. You have to defend. Look what's happening to Denver. They don't defend.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They don't defend. And that's why. And their coach, Malone, took out Denver last night, his own guys, saying they didn't look like they wanted to play. Watch the second half of that Denver game. Watch highlights. There's guys, balls going up. There's nobody rushing to the net.
Mm-hmm.
They're just standing out there accepting their defeat. So I give that coach full credit. Look, if people think he lost the team because of that, the team was lost already. They're not giving effort. They're an embarrassment, the Denver Nuggets.
Right. It is.
So, and that includes Jokic. He's got to play better. Everybody's got to play mm-hmm. better.
He used the word that the team quit. That's what he
yes.
used. Man, that's a harsh but realistic.
Until you watch the second half of that game,
mm-hmm.
there's a shot up. There's a guy, that all he has to do to rebound the ball is battle one guy, go around him or something. He just stands out there. All of them. What? Like they're playing in a park league.
Why?
So, I mean, you got to give effort. Milwaukee, Giannis gives effort, man.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody better dog that guy.
Mm-hmm.
That guy stuck with Milwaukee. Now it's up to Milwaukee to get him some better players next year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Middleton signed a big deal, too. We need more from you.
Mm-hmm.
And look, any team where you have an Irishman starting is in trouble. Okay.
Mike, you started and you had an outstanding outside
shot. What's the guy's name? Quantity? Quantity?
I don't know.
I'm just saying, all due respect, but come on now. And they've lost. I love the Bucks for what they're doing.
Yeah.
I love Giannis for staying. Let's hope they get a win.
I hope so too. But
Brooklyn is why they want the midseason tournament next year, because they just didn't do crap this year, and then they're like an AAU team. They have the most talent, and the rules are geared where you can't touch these guys. So come on.
You're right. I mean, the game has changed so much.
If you brush up against Durant, they call foul like it's game 40.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, man. It's the playoffs.
Mike, do you prefer the game of the 70s and 80s?
Oh, my God. They mangled people. It was awesome.
You prefer?
It was on the playground stuff. It was, you played hard.
Yeah.
You wanted to rebound. You had to deal with Rick Mahorn, Charles Barkley, Kyle Malone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you had to deal with Scottie Pippen, Horace Grant, Dennis Rodman.
Mm-hmm.
What are you dealing with now? Huh? Come on. There's nobody. I mean, Trae Young runs the court against guys that he could never do that in the 80s.
Never.
You know?
No way. No way.
Could never do 40 points.
Mm-hmm.
He'd get killed.
Mm-hmm.
They'd hand check him out of the league. They would. And everybody knows it. That's why Iverson was special.
He was.
That's why Tiny Archer. Now, maybe this kid's the same way. But, man, he dribbles right into the middle of the lane and does a finger flow. He would have been knocked on his ass 50 times. He couldn't have even gotten into paint.
That's right.
That's what's happened to defense. You don't need to play great defense.
Yeah.
You got to outscore everybody.
Yeah.
That's the NBA now. You'd rather take threes. I mean, yesterday Denver was like 14 of 44. Is that fun basketball?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's
people say, Mike, you started out the show a little shaky, but now you've really turned down the if you drove the lane like that little pipsqueak, and I love him, Trae Young, against Lambeer, he'd pick you up, take a bite out of you, throw you in the stand. They did it to Jordan.
Oh, my gosh.
They did it to Mikhail Rambis.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on. I mean, the ABA style is a reason the ABA, look, they got four teams from the ABA to the NBA. The ABA was a great league. But the three was huge. They promoted that. And that's what's happened to the NBA. It's turned into the ABA. And you know what? There's got to be an in-between. Because if you can't play defense by hand checking or being allowed to, I mean, they call charges on guys and offensive fouls and people step in the, they don't even know what a charge is anymore.
It's true. It really is.
Why don't they just make me commissioner of all four sports? I'll save them the trouble. I'll tell you what, give me $1 million flat. I'll run all the sports. We'll bring back we'll bring back some certain rules. We'll get rid of it. We'll get rid of the 10 inning rule. We'll get rid of the seventh inning, but doubleheader. Okay. We'll put that you could take out a guy at second base. We'll keep the catcher collision rule in. Okay. Okay. As far as the NBA is concerned, we're going to go back to the hand check rule a little bit. You're going to be able to brush your guy a little bit without fear of reprisal. We're going to call a tougher game. The National Hockey League. Okay, what we're going to do is make sure that there's more parity in the league, because right now it just seems to be lopsided, although you had the Islanders last night upset the Bruins. And in the National Football League, I wouldn't tinker too much with what we got, all right? But I would say that we have to get a little bit more defensive, be able to play a little more freely, give the defensive players some freedom. From the, and pass interference is now being called now by offensive players more than ever before. So I think we're seeing that. So that's done. Thank you. I'll see you all next year.
Mike, I think you're underselling yourself. That's worth a lot more than $1 million.
Oh, well, I'll tell you what. You watch sports like I do. You love sports like I do. You know, I mean, I actually hear people on the air. Maybe I should be in charge of finding talk show hosts who say things like LeBron James is the second best player in NBA history when Wilt Chamberlain played in the NBA. Just look up his stats and please, dear Lord, shut the hell up. He averaged 50 points one season and 25 boards.
That's right.
Okay? Knock it off.
And
he's the second greatest player who ever played in the league. It's not even close. He scored 100 points without a three.
And he was
without a 3-point shot.
He was being fouled relentlessly.
And he never fouled out of a game. And he never took a second off one season. So shut up about LeBron James. Because if Will Chamberlain had been on the Lakers instead of Anthony Davis, LeBron James would be winning an NBA championship. Are you out of your mind? Are you people insane? You could put LeBron James in the top 10. You could even be nuts and put him in the top 5, which is not in mine. But dear Lord on high, as I bow my head, I want to say a prayer for all of you that would think that LeBron James is in the same neighborhood as Will Chamberlain. It's not even close.
Wow.
Wake up.
I feel like I just went to church and I've been given a new lease on life. That was
God.
Exactly how I feel. Exactly how I feel.
Will Chamberlain is untouchable. In fact, there's an argument to be made he was better than Jordan. Doesn't have the titles. Jordan did. Was a 6'6" guy that did impossible things and was more clutch than Will Chamberlain. No doubt about it. Mm-hmm. But Will Chamberlain, I believe, if you look up, rebounds, had 56 in one game.
Mm-hmm.
56. And you know, I know something. You know who had 56 in one game against? Bill Russell. Okay? Bill Russell got 53, 51 in a game. Who's a beast, too? Bill Russell was a beast, but today they throw him around. That's my personal opinion. They would not throw Will Chamberlain around.
No. No, no, no.
He'd destroy them.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony Davis? If Anthony Davis played Will Chamberlain, he'd become woke. You know that word? He'd become woke. Hang around the three-point line like you woke. Because Wilt would hurt you. Because you get hurt easy. Wilt Chamberlain would hurt these people. I'll give you another guy that would kick all their asses. Artis Gilmore.
Oh.
Whip all your asses.
The big A. Yes, yes.
Whip all your asses. Artis Gilmore.
My man.
Who? Gilmore. What, are we talking about that guy Embiid? Go up against Artis Gilmore. Then talk to me. You better shoot the three. Don't come inside. 7'3" of beast. Him and Chamberlain. It's just nonsense.
I love it. I love it.
Right?
I love it.
I mean, seriously, why? What's wrong with everybody?
Yeah.
This COVID hitting everybody got stupid. Will Chamberlain scored 100 points in the game. Will Chamberlain averaged 50 points and 25 rebounds one season. Will Chamberlain won two championships when the Celtics beat the Celtics when they were a powerhouse and also won in L.A. Will Chamberlain averaged 48.5 minutes a game one year because he didn't foul out once and played in overtime games when they only had two timeouts a half. They take 30 now. 30. LeBron James, let me just say this for everybody out there. Pass it around. If anybody wants to dispute it, I'll debate him. It's not nobody's better than Will Chamberlain except Michael Jordan. Period. Oh, he only won two titles. Okay. Ted Williams didn't win any. He had 400. Things happen. He won two with two of the greatest teams ever. Philadelphia and the Lakers team. Okay? Now, you want to go against West, Baylor, or whatever, and Chamberlain with Anthony Davis and LeBron James and Kyle Kuzma? Why am I looking this way? You know what I'm saying. I was just admiring a recent photo of myself.
All right. This is the moment we've all been waiting for.
Woo! LeBron James is better than Will Chamberlain.
WinDailySports.com. That's the place to go for your betting needs. And make sure you follow them on Twitter at WinDailySports. They are so nice to sponsor this show. And they've got the Mike North Show. The title of that show, Mike, I love it. Bet.
Yeah, it's called Be Like Mike, but it's in parentheses. You have the T, so Bet Like Mike.
Yeah.
And another one, you know, the guy that gave us the odds couple, Jeff Schwartz, also came up with that one, and he's helped us here, and he's going to be doing some stuff with us with another project we have, and Jeff's a good friend of ours.
He's a genius, and, that Jeff Schwartz, a genius.
Isn't he?
Yes.
He is a genius. Yes, he is. And I'll tell you what, when I think of greatness, you think of Jagger, you think of Ruth, you think of Ted Williams, we just thought, Will Chamberlain. But when it comes to handicapping, folks, I think of myself as being all that during football season, maybe, because baseball season for everybody in May has not been pretty, and early June. It's not been good for people.
Mm-hmm.
I know this for a fact. I know the top people in the business, Philly Godfather. I know we're going overtime today, but that's the way it goes. Philly Godfather, Luke, just a bunch of great people. And by the way, for you folks that want to direct message me, say, can you put up my handy? Because I'm handicap incentive now, which I means I'll lose some followers because there's no more debate with me. Eldo just looked at it. He can't believe it. He goes, Mike, you're sticking to your guns. It's going to be just a positive type of site. This is my 30th year. I want to be congenial. It's the kind of guy I am. But seriously, we got some great picks here, and it started all here in the barroom. By the way, Illinois number two in handle of all the sports books. So I'd like to say that we started handicapping before this stuff even opened, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
Here on Bears Barroom, then we on Win Daily. Next week I'll be back. We've been on vacation. John Jansen, the winning's been too tiring, so he decided to just retire. I mean, take a break on a heater. And then don't forget tomorrow night ESPN with another granddaddy of them all, the Odds Couple with Carmen DeFalco, Randy Merkin, Luke Pergande, and Jimmy Miller from Hawthorne. So cool. Here's what we got. I'm taking Detroit in a pick against Seattle. The Tigers, and I'm taking Boston plus 103 against the Houston Astros, and Joey Cora returns to the scene of the crime, or Alex Cora.
Alex.
Sorry, Joey. Family. I understand. So those are my two picks of the day. I had a certain lean towards the, you know what, I'll take Washington too, the Nationals minus 160. Heavy favorite there. So Boston plus 103, Detroit in a pick, and Washington minus 160 tonight.
Yeah.
Okay.
I love
this. There's my guy, Jimmy Koletsis. Jimmy K, I love you, buddy. Burn him. You're my guy. Look at my guy. This guy and I, we hung together when we were kids.
Really?
We were kids. Oh, yeah. Oh. I should get him on one of these days. He's got memories, but we got, you know, we can't tell everything, but I'm just saying.
Yeah.
You know,
we can't tell everything. That's
can't great. Tell everything. But anyway, that's one of my dear buddies that I hung out with since we were seventh, eighth grade.
We can do a show like that once where you invite some of your old buddies, and we could fit up to 10 people on this screen. So invite five or six of them and just you guys.
We might do it at the old Saints.
Yeah.
You know,
that'd be
awesome. I got some great people, and he's one of them. So anyway,
that would be great. That would
be great. Oh yeah.
Well,
then you find out really about me.
You've given us four picks for tonight because you also said you like that basketball game tonight, the Nuggets.
No,
not the Nuggets, the Jazz. Excuse me.
Listen, you're a sick man. I just said I like them to win the series. You're degenerate.
I'll let it that.
You're turned into a degenerate. Okay.
Yeah.
I do like the Nuggets, but I like them in the series. I'm praying that they win. Okay. You turn into, I remember you said, what's betting? Now all of a sudden you're a degenerate. Look at your beard. It's great. I mean, look what happened to you.
Yeah. I was 20 years younger.
Put it in the words of Nikki Santoro. Look what she really did a job on this guy. Look what she did to you. All right. So we got Detroit. I always feel bad with my buddies when they lose, like this guy. Everybody else I feel bad for, too, but my pals.
Yeah,
but, you know, we've been winning a lot since we were
absolutely
kids. So Detroit, Boston, and Washington.
There you go.
And I hope to God everything works out.
And the only regret that I have in my life is that I didn't start betting earlier when you were on that NFL 18-1 streak, the hottest streak of any handicapper in the universe.
Yeah. And I was 14-2 this year with Carmen and Yurko.
Look at this.
So I had another run like that. But, you know, I've had runs of 1-9. We've all had runs of 1-9.
Sure, sure.
You want to, you know, you're going, you know, hand me the rope over here, and then I'm looking for a beam. You know, Mike was here. I'm scarred like Brooks. You're trying to tip the chair, and then at the last minute you go, wait a minute, I got another game. You know what I mean?
That's right. That's right. I remember you telling me, Aldo, you want to pay for that new backyard?
You could have had a whole new home.
That's right.
For that 18-1 run. A new home.
And I was like,
anyway,
man, I better.
We got a lot of stuff coming up. I got to go eat. I'm having enough.
How's Lotto?
What did you have yesterday? You
go, how's Lotto? We saw a video of you taking him out for like a 5 a.m. walk. How's he doing?
Oh, he's the best. He's the best. Lotto's the best. How's Doodles?
Doodles is doing good. You know, he's like 14 years old, and he's behaving like he's 5 years old. He's
I'm going to tell you something. When we first got him, you know, you have to train him so he won't take a dump in the house or anything.
Sure.
But so we'll set up some bells, like a string of bells, okay, on the doorknob. So every time we would pick him up when we felt he had to go, and he had a couple accidents, you'd ring the bell.
That's cool.
We kept doing it, and he kept looking, you know, we'd pick him up, we go, this is not, and then one day, ding, and now he hits the bells with his paw, and he sits there, and that's when we know how he goes to the washroom. But it took us like a month and a half of busting our tail.
Well,
you know, my wife has been doing great, you know, Bibi, you know.
She's the best.
She does the same thing. Doodles, how long, puppies for people, that's why puppies are being brought back after this whole COVID thing. People got puppies. They're too rough to bring up for them. Don't get a puppy then.
Yes.
Don't get a dog if you're not prepared, like you if you had a kid. That's what it's like.
It's exactly
having
that.
A kid.
It's exactly that. You got to love the dog just like a kid, and you got to bring them up just like a kid. That's the way it is. All right, Mike North, a great, great time. I look forward to this every week because I don't laugh ever. I don't laugh.
I know you don't. You're a very bitter man.
That's right.
Except you're waiting for Justin Fields to make his Hall of Fame announcement. Oh, I forgot the one thing that Nagy said about him. This was the best. Every guy quoted him. Every guy, every writer quoted him. Justin Fields wants to rip your heart out. It's June. He threw a pass to somebody. That's all. I mean, come on, just take a break. Step back.
Stop selling us.
My God, we get it. Okay, you love the guy. That's enough. All right, goodbye, everybody.
All right, Mike, love you. We'll see you next week.
Love you.